They circumcised their male children, and anybody who became a convert to Judaism, if they were male, they also were circumcised. They followed the law of Moses, the covenant given him by God on Mount Sinai. That's what everybody understood it meant to be a part of God's family. But Paul says in this letter, wait a minute, that's not the truth. The only reason the family exists in the first place is Abraham, and Abraham's family is supposed to bring God's blessing of redemption and reconciliation to the entire world. I will bless you, and I will bless those who bless you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's where the whole thing is headed. But there's a roadblock. There's been a wreck on the interstate, if you will. The physical family of Abraham, the Jewish people, the law in particular, has become like a huge truck overturned across all lanes and has ended up being a blockage to God's intention of what God wants to have happen. The law was given as a kind of a roadmap, rules of the road, which warned that certain kinds of behavior would result in being cursed rather than being blessed. That's what is talked about in Deuteronomy, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And in Deuteronomy it says that this curse is going to happen in the context of history. Israel will be actually taken off into exile by the pagan nations, which is the exact opposite of what God wants to have happen. He wants Israel to be a blessing to the pagan nations, but instead they're going to be taken off into exile. Why? Because they don't keep the law. There's a train wreck. All this is what Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the other prophets talked about. Was happening, was about to happen, and then in the midst of the happening, talking to them about what God was going to do to resolve this roadblock. The promises are roadblock, and the surprising thing is that the law itself has become the truck that is turned upside down. One of the prophets, Habakkuk, who is writing about the time when Israel was devastated, saying that there is a way past the roadblock. There is a way to get around this thing that has happened that's kept God's intention from taking place, and that way around is the way of faith. The righteous will live by faith. Well, but what about the roadblock? What about the curse? What is God going to do about the curse? Paul says that God's way of dealing with that is that Jesus takes the curse on himself, so that you and I don't have to pay the penalty of the curse any longer, so that we can be redeemed of the curse. That's what that is all about. That on the cross, Jesus becomes cursed because he actually kept the law. But because he identifies with us completely, he takes all of our failure on himself. He takes all evil onto himself. He absorbs that curse onto himself so that we can be redeemed from the curse. He talks about this, Paul talks about this, not in some abstract kind of way, but he says it happens in the historical context of a concrete act that took place on Calvary on a cross. Something that really happened in real time, in real place. And it's through that action that the nations are going to be blessed. And it is through faith in that actions we become a part of the family of God. Not through the keeping of the law, not by getting our act together. The blessings of the nations take place through Jesus. It takes place through Jesus for Israel, and it takes place through Jesus for the pagan nations. Paul says it's through that action and through our faith in that God that God disseminates His Spirit to His people. So that keeping of the law, keeping of Torah, keeping of kosher laws, keeping of circumcision, keeping of Sabbath, those markers are no longer the markers of who belongs to the people of God. There is only one marker. It is the marker of the Spirit which is received by faith. That's it. And so everything we do that separates us from other Christians is an abomination. When we say, all right, you're not acting the way we think you a Christian should act, so therefore we're not going to have anything to do with you, and if we pull out little verses from Scripture to kind of proof text our reason for that, Paul would say, you are missing the point. We belong to Christ through faith, and by belonging to Christ through faith, we're a part of the family, period. When we take a particular doctrine and we pull that out and say, well, you don't have the right doctrine. There is only one doctrine that the Bible actually talks about in terms of the New Testament and becoming a part of the family of God. It is the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and coming again of Jesus the Messiah. That and that alone. That's what sound doctrine is. It's when we deny the reality of His life. It's when we deny the reality of His death, when we die, deny the reality of His resurrection, and when we deny the reality of His ascension, and we deny the reality of His coming again, that's when we have bad doctrine, and that's when we are no longer part of the faith, because our faith is empty. Paul says emphatically, all of this has happened so that everybody can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that everybody can be a part of the family. People ask me how our little trip to California went. All of our family lives kind of within 5 miles of each other. I don't have much family at all, but all of Nancy's family. Well, her family is a little bit, I mean, I love her family. They become my family. You know, we just, yeah, I love them completely. But they're totally dysfunctional. I mean, every family's dysfunctional, right? I mean, isn't that right? But they're really dysfunctional. So when you go visit, you know, you never know exactly how things are going to turn out. Well, this one was a real nice visit. I had a great time. Very happy about that. But the thing is, they're part of my family. It really doesn't matter how dysfunctional they are. Because, you know what? If they were sitting here talking to you about me, they'd be talking about my dysfunction. When we point out other people's dysfunction and use that as a reason for separating ourselves from them, Paul says there's a Hebrew word for that. Baloney. Baloney, that's in Hebrew. It means that doesn't wash. That's not what Christianity is. That's not what faith in Christ is. When are we going to learn the lesson, folks? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we do. Doesn't matter how bad we act. It doesn't matter how bad our theology. I mean, I cringe about some of your theologies. I do. But you know what? You're part of the family because of one thing and one thing only. Your faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else. It's not because you dress correctly. It's not because you act the right way. It's not because you speak the right language. It's not because of any of those things. It's not because you have the right friends. It's not because you have the right kind of dinner parties. It's not because you have the right kind of job It's none of those things. It's one thing and one thing only. Faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says that's the only thing that leads you through the logjam. It's the only thing that opens up the roadblock. The action of God in Jesus Christ, where He becomes a curse for you in your failure, in your dysfunction, taking all of that on Himself so that He might create one new family made up of everybody from every tribe and nation, from every tongue, from every bit of background. It doesn't matter who you are. You put your faith in Christ, you're part of the family. Father, I ask that you'd help us. Help us to recognize that you deal with all the problems that stand in the way of your blessing. Help us to not only recognize that, but to keep our lives and our hopes and our dreams, our relationships, our plans, our perspectives firmly planted in Jesus, so that we don't throw up any new roadblocks to anyone. Do that work by your Spirit in us and through us. Amen.